nice. Oh, look at all of you. I turned around at the beginning of the service and thought, oh, well, it's cold, you know. Here you are. So as you heard Sherry say, this is the day of the annual prayer lunch, which sounds grander than it is. It's an informal gathering of people who would like to volunteer for our prayer teams, praying privately or publicly, alone, one-to-one, or leading the whole congregation on Sundays. So we will meet during the potluck in the chaparral room. Between our silent prayer team and the ones who come up here on the platform, we have about 30 people praying for you and for each other, and that's a goodly chunk of the congregation. And I assume some of you who aren't officially on the prayer teams pray for each other occasionally too. So prayer has been on my mind. Unity has quite a bit to say about prayer. I'm always a little hesitant to talk about it because prayer is such a personal thing, and because I'm afraid I'll sound as if there are right and wrong ways to pray. So could I just issue a blanket statement? Pray any way you want. Pray any way that works for you. The goal is effective prayer. How do you define effective? It could be getting everything you want. Although just today, Abraham Hicks said, many think success means getting everything I want. And we say, that's what dead is. So as long as we're alive, we'll be wanting more. In fact, desire is next week's topic. Maybe effective prayer is feeling connected or feeling heard. In unity, we might say effective prayer is knowing it is done. We call that the realization step in prayer. It's you kind of feel a cosmic click, and you know the tumblers have fallen into place. You don't know yet exactly how it will turn out. You have to let it unfold in time and space, but you know all is well. It's already done in spirit. And in unity, we end most of our prayers with, it is done, or all is well. So there's no right or wrong way to pray. However, in unity, we say over and over, it's important to be aware of the consciousness you're holding. Our thoughts have creative power. That's one of unity's basic teachings. What we hold in mind or focus on becomes our experience. And prayer is a time of focused thought. That's why it's so powerful. So we want to be especially aware of the thoughts we hold when we pray, or the consciousness or the energy that we hold during prayer. So one of the best ways to know where you're coming from with your prayers is to listen to the words you use. Now, God doesn't care about the words. I'll just speak on behalf of God here. The universe doesn't speak English, and it's not waiting for you to ask in just the right way. It's picking up your energetic vibration. That's how thoughts are magnified, and that's why we work so hard to keep thoughts positive. Your thoughts vibrate through the universe like ripples in a pond and then come back to you. Or at least that's one way to picture how it works. So when you listen to the words you use in prayer, you become aware of the energy you're holding. And that's the vibration that will be reflected to you. If your words are begging and pleading with God, the energy behind them is desperate and lacking. There's something you need and you don't have it. And the focus is on what's missing. And what we focus on expands. We all beg God sometimes. And sometimes pleading seems to work. Billions of people throughout history have pleaded with God, presumably because they see God as a supreme being, watching, listening, intervening in our lives, sometimes in ways we like and sometimes not. Prayers are asked and answered. At least that's the way prayer is most often described. Which brings us to the obvious idea that took me years to figure out. The way you pray, the way you use words in prayer, has everything to do with what you think about God. how you describe God, how you think about the divine and your relationship to it. In Unity's well-intentioned efforts to move beyond pleading with a God out there, we have jumbled different ways to pray because we have jumbled different views of God. And a lot of us ended up confused. Then along came the three faces of God. We've talked about this before, but it's been over a year. This idea comes from Ken Wilber, philosopher, author in Boulder. In my humble opinion, Ken Wilber tends to overcomplicate things. But in this case, he greatly clarified and simplified ideas about God. He just observed that world religions view God in three basic ways: God within us, God in relationship to us, and God as all that is. He related it to grammar. First person is I. I am the divine within. Second person is you. So God in relationships, me and you, God. And traditional Christianity focuses almost exclusively on that second person, a relationship with God located outside ourselves. And then third person is it. God is everything. Ken Wilber says most religions pick one or two and reject the others, even call the others heresy. Unity's founders talked about all three without separating them so distinctly. In Unity, we tend to emphasize first and third person, our own divinity, God within, and the idea that God is everything, one presence and one power. But without that second face relationship with God, it might end up feeling like you're completely on your own with no one to talk to. You don't know where to aim your prayers. You worry that whatever is in your life is something you created and there's no help available. So within, all that is, and relationship, which of those three faces fits best for you? It might depend on the day. And the way you pray depends on how you think about God. So I wanted to explore how prayer, or the language of prayer, might be different depending on how and what you envision God to be, which face of God you see. But first, let me address one possible objection. A few months ago, I was asked to speak to the chaplains at Unity of the Hills, the big church in Austin. And I talked about this, prayer and the three faces of God. They're chaplains. They pray out loud with people all the time. So I said, let's explore the words they use and how those words reflect their view of God. And a few of them didn't want to do it. And I knew this would happen. They said, I just pray from my heart. I don't want to think about the words that I'm using. I tried not to make them wrong. I know words mean more to me than to a lot of people. I know the left brain. Anyway, I hope you all pray from your hearts. And God doesn't need the words, but we do. Words are the only way we have to express what's in our hearts. Words are the way we get whatever is in us out. And words reflect consciousness. It was my experience that until I deliberately learned some new prayer language, I'd just revert to the words I used when I was 8 years old. And I hope my consciousness has expanded since then, and I want my words to reflect that. But it took some practice. Once we're comfortable with new ideas and language about God and prayer, it does flow. But every once in a while, you might check in. Pay attention to the words they're using, you're using. Are the words aligned with the face of God you see? So let's talk some more about these different ways to pray depending on how you experience the divine. First person, I, God as me. This is also one of Unity's basic teachings. We call it the Christ within, or our divine essence, that we are parts of God just as a drop of ocean water is part of the ocean. Not the whole ocean, but contains all the elements of ocean. A lot of people are uncomfortable calling themselves God. I've learned. So we talk about higher self, spirit within. And people come to Unity and they hear this and they like this, and pretty soon they ask, but what about prayer? If I'm divine, am I praying to myself? Kinda. The key is to redefine self. Expand your sense of self. Most of us were taught to live at the level of personality without much awareness of the divine within. So self was very small. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Self didn't have answers or wisdom. That had to come from God out there. But your true self is the divine in you. Prayer in first person is I am. God told Moses his name is I am that I am. So we call forth the divine in us with I am statements, affirmations. I am health, I am peace, I am love. Jesus did the same thing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Christ within, the divine in each of us is the way. Jesus was living in divine consciousness and inviting us to join him there, calling ourselves higher. So praying in first person, I am, we call forth our divine attributes. We affirm or remind our personalities, who we truly are. We tap into our greater selves. Another way to pray in first person is to seek oneness. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, called it the silence. It is merging with the divine. It is the wave settling back into the ocean. Oneness also fits with the third person view of God, and I'll come back around to second person. The third face is infinite God. The first is immanent within. The third is transcendent. God that is the ground of being. God of nature, the cosmos, evolution. In unity, you'll hear that God is principle or spiritual law, one presence, one power, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. When you're envisioning the third face of God, you pray with wow. Watching a fabulous sunset, seeing a new baby, a redwood forest, a starry sky, anytime we experience the awe and mystery of the universe. I think third person prayer is also anytime we know ourselves to be part of that whole or act in concert with it, co-creation. Understanding spiritual principle and using it is third person. It's molding invisible substance with thought. It's speaking the word and knowing it is done. It's the practice of oneness, working within source energy or living as the divine. So think of the third person God as a process, God as a verb, the creative urge, the evolutionary impulse. Unity says Holy Spirit is the activity of God on the earth. It's the divine in motion, the ceaseless, restless, creative energy of the universe. So the first face of God is within, and that's affirmative prayer, calling forth our higher selves, our inner wisdom, with statements that remind us of our own divinity. And the third face is the infinite God of ongoing creation. Prayer is the wonder we feel as part of all that is. And knowing that you are a crucial part of it. The universe would not be complete without you. The ocean would be less without your drop. Then second person is a relationship with God. This is most familiar in the Abrahamic religions, but if we have rejected a face of God in unity, it's this one. Now, there are unhealthy versions for each face of God. First, the divine within can hook our egos. Hey, I'm God. Third, the infinite God can just seem too remote. And second, God in relationship has been used to beat a lot of us up. For some people, this is the God that watches and judges and condemns sinners to hell. Nothing happens without this God's knowledge and approval, no matter how painful it is for us. And in this relationship, we just try to be obedient while this supreme being pulls the strings of our lives. For other people, the relationship is healthy. This is a God of love and forgiveness. It's the power to set all things right. This is where they place their ultimate faith and trust. It's an ongoing, daily back and forth. If you have that, hang on to it. For Jesus, this was Abba, Daddy, the relationship. Jesus used all three faces of God. He spoke about God, to God, and as God. But this second person was intimate and personal. For us, the second face of the divine can be a relationship with any form of the divine. So it could be angels or guides or Jesus as your buddy. It can show up in traditional Dear God prayer or seeing 11:11 on the clock. Whatever speaks to you. At first I thought this God in second person had to be separate, but not necessarily. As human beings, we talk to each other. We are in relationship, even though we know really we're all one and really there's no space between us. It's just easier on our brains to see each other as separate. There's me and there's you and we relate. And for many people, that's the easiest way to think about and communicate with God. I mentioned last week I had reread Lessons in Truth, which is the earliest Unity classic book, written in 1904. Emily Cady was a doctor who wrote it. She spent the whole book explaining God as principle and spiritual law, and then she said, "There is no reason why, because in our earlier years, some of us were forced into the narrow puritanical limits that stood for a religious belief." No resentment there. She said, "There's no reason why we should now so exaggerate our freedom as to fancy that we're entirely self-sufficient, and she'll never again need the sweet, uplifting communion between father and child. The created, that's us, whoever lives, moves, and has his being in his creator, needs the conscious presence of that creator, and cannot be entirely happy in knowing God only as cold, unsympathetic principle. Why can't both conceptions find lodgment in the minds and hearts? Both are true, and both are necessary parts of the whole." But we might want to find some new language for prayer in our relationship with God, because it was so ingrained in some of us, it's easy to fall back into the consciousness of supplicant, pleading with God to make everything better. We don't get to be helpless victims anymore. We're divine ourselves. We have God within. We are part of the whole, all that is. We meet God in relationship, not as equals, but at least standing up tall instead of on our knees. Think of Rumi and the Beloved, a divine friendship, almost a love affair. We are very brave to have volunteered for this human experience. But we came equipped with our own divine powers and attributes. We don't have to beg for divine intervention. It's more like touching base with the home office. Listen to how Paul Smith describes second person God. Now, you have to know he is a former Baptist minister. He wrote this book called Integral Christianity, which is the best explanation of the three faces of God that I have run across. But listen to his names for the energy of the divine and how it might relate to us. He says the third person, infinite face of God, comes alive in second person closeness. God of cosmos, who rushes to hug and kiss us. Ultimate reality that stands before us while we lovingly look into one another's eyes. Evolutionary impulse that sits across the table, breaking bread and drinking wine with us. Divine intelligence that appears on the sofa next to us and starts a conversation. Sacred love that puts its hand on our shoulder and reassures us in the middle of the darkest night. Creator of heaven and earth, who pauses to listen intently and hear our heart. We don't have to choose among the three faces. We need them all. So as you continue to expand your understanding of God and prayer, ask yourself three questions. Is your God big enough? That's third person, infinite, transcendent. God as a verb, ceaseless creative energy, the God of awe and mystery. Is your God close enough? That second person, the intimate, personal God. This is where you find guidance, comfort, understanding, where you express gratitude, where you can ask and pray, believing that it's already yours. And is your God you enough? This is you as a divine being, like the drop of ocean water, not just awed by the creative power of the universe, and not just comforted by the presence of infinite love, but part of it, one with it, the Christ in human form. Big enough, close enough, you enough. Prayer reaches them all. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take that big, deep, cleansing breath and release it fully. Another big, deep, cleansing breath in, and let it just swirl through your body and kind of pick up everything that you want to let go of in this moment. Let it go. And move into that space, that heart space, envisioning that God energy, that spirit energy, that universal energy coming in through the top of your head, flowing through, down through your body into your heart. Keep breathing that energy in, that light, maybe as light particles or light waves or color, sound. All of it at its core is energy, vibration. Moving into that heart space, expanding. Bringing to mind whatever face of God comes to you first. It may have a human face. It may be a setting in your mind's eye that brings you peace and comfort. And then move through the other two faces. And use the words internally. The I am. And see that face. As you continue to breathe, move to the other face. The partnership. And as you breathe further into that space, call to mind the communion with all three. Knowing that at the heart, in that deepest place of your open heart, they are all part of the one. One manifest as you in this time and in this place. And you are in communion, in communication through your consciousness. This moment, you don't have to be anything but in communion with that power. You are divine in partnership with the divine. And that divinity is all there is. It is all good. It is all God. So breathe in all that God light, God stuff, God love. Breathe again and let it out.
Hallelujah.